Hello there, this is Fiona from IELTS with Fiona, and in today's episode we're going to look at a truly horrible reading, passage 3. I picked this one up just because I thought it would be quite interesting in itself, because I find IELTS texts really interesting. It's called Building the Skyline, The Birth and Growth of Manhattan's Skyscrapers. And it's taken from Book 17, Test 3. So you can Google that title, but if you're in the Members Academy, you'll find extra help in the vocabulary course in the section about buildings. Now, buildings is a huge topic in IELTS, so there are quite a few things there about skyscrapers, believe it or not. One of them is about ventilation, and another one is about crop growing skyscrapers. So it's definitely a really important topic. This reading is slightly odd because it's a review of a book, and I have seen these coming up more and more. It's a review by Catherine Schester, and she reviews a book by Jason Barr about the development of New York City. So I don't really like these readings in IELTS when it's quite confusing, because you think, well, did she write the book or is she talking about the book? It's quite confusing. And I think a little odd, but what can you do? The paragraphs are nicely ordered, because they just give a background and then each paragraph talks about one chapter in the book. So in that sense, it's kind of easy to follow and it's easy to find where the answers are, even if you don't quite understand the answers. I'm not going to focus too much on explaining them today. I'm just going to focus on strategies for doing your best under pressure with a really dull and difficult text like this one. So there are three sets of questions. The first set is multiple choice. So let's look at that first in terms of strategies. There are five questions, and each question really tells you where to go. The first question says, what point does Schester make about Barr's book in the first paragraph? So remember, Schester is the reviewer and Barr wrote the book. So you go to the first paragraph and either read it and then look at the multiple choice, or look at the multiple choice first, underline keywords, and then go back to the text. I think that's what I did for this one. So when you underline keywords, there are four choices. A, it's a highly original explanation. So we're looking for, you know, new, pioneering, unheard of. B, elements of Barr's research papers. C, other books take a different approach. And D, it covers a range of factors that affected the development of New York. And D is the answer. I'm just going to say it so we can look at the synonyms. So the range of factors, it starts in the very, almost the first line. It says the book combines geology, history, economics, and a lot of data to explain why business clusters developed where they did. And that's it, really. That's the range of factors that affected the development. In 28, this is my tip, which is to look for just one word. I'll explain. The question is, how does Schester respond to the information in the book about tenements? Now, they give you the word tenement. It has an asterisk next to it. So that's why it's quite easy to find. A tenement, they say, is a multi-occupancy building of any sort, but particularly a run-down apartment building or slum building. Quite key words there for IELTS slums. So you go straight to paragraph 3 and you find what she says about tenements. Now, this is the difficult part. This is really testing your academic understanding, your ability to read between the lines and to understand what the language is doing. So she says, the question is, how does she respond to this thing about tenements? Now, the answer is she indicates a potential problem. Now, if you did that by yourself, you might go back to the text and think, well, where does she indicate a problem? I can't see that. And there are no synonyms. But the way she indicates a problem, she says, I would have liked Barr to expand upon his claim about tenements. Now, that's the language of regret. It's third conditional. I would have liked Barr to expand upon his claim. And she explains why, but this is how she identifies the problem, that his claim, that's a key word, what he says is true, doesn't quite sound right because of later evidence. So that is a potential problem with Barr's analysis. And that's all in the language and not in vocabulary or synonyms or anything. 29 says, go to chapter 6. So you go forward again. Chapter 6 is almost towards the end, to be honest. What does she say about chapter 6? So you find chapter 6 and she says, while less technical than the research paper, it is probably more technical than would be preferred by a general audience. Now, there is an implied criticism here. She's saying that actually a general audience would prefer something less technical. So this chapter, chapter 6, is actually maybe too technical. So we're looking for something like that. And it brings us to answer 29C. It is too specialized for most readers. So maybe synonym for specialized would be technical, more technical than would be preferred by a general audience, which is most readers. You skip forward again, and this time the keyword is the 1920s building boom. So you jump forward to the next paragraph and you find 1920s. That's easy to find. The question is, what does Chester suggest about these chapters? This is how difficult it is. All of the questions are really, what does she say? What does she think? What does she suggest? They're really asking you to understand the difference between fact and opinion, and it's tough. She says, so what does she suggest? I'll look at the text. It says, chapter 8 contains lengthy discussions of urban economic theory that may serve as a distraction to readers primarily interested in New York. Another implied criticism. She says that chapter 8 has long discussions of economic theory, and these may distract readers that really only want to read about New York. They don't want economic theory. So, the answer is some parts will have limited appeal to certain people. That's a nice hedging way of saying it. Not everybody will like this chapter. So some parts will have limited appeal to certain people. She then says, however, they would be well suited for undergraduates learning about the economics of cities. So for those people, it's a nice chapter. For other people, not so much. Finally, question 31. What impresses Chester about the chapter on land values. So the last paragraph, we can see it's about land values. We're looking for a word which means that she was impressed. And there's only one sentence. She says, the data work that went into these estimations is particularly impressive. So the only thing we've got is the data work. So I immediately looked for a synonym for data. And the answer is C, the nature of the research into the topic. So I just used strategies there. I didn't try to understand anything because it was just too dense and difficult. The yes, no, not given questions are not too bad, though. Very often, if the text is difficult, the questions are easier. So let me know what you think about these. 32 says, and it takes you back to the first paragraph or first part. It says, the description in the first chapter of how New York probably looked from the air in the early 1600s, long sentence, lacks interest. So if we shorten that sentence, the description of New York from the air lacks interest, meaning is not interesting. So when you go to look at that, chapter one takes the reader on a helicopter ride, giving a fascinating account of how New York in 1609 might have looked from the sky. So the word there, keyword, is it's a fascinating account. But the question said it lacks interest. So there's a complete opposite. Lack of interest, opposite is fascinating. So the answer is no. Now it tells us to look at chapters 2 and 3. Prepare the reader well for material yet to come. So it's paragraph 3. It says, chapters 2 and 3, blah, blah, blah. Both chapters are informative and well-researched and set the stage for the economic analysis that comes later in the book. So both chapters 2 and 3 set the stage. Synonym, prepare the reader. Answer is yes. Question, so we've had one no, one yes. 34. The biggest problem for 19th century New York immigrant neighborhoods was lack of amenities. So you go to the next paragraph where it talks about immigration, location of neighborhoods. It talks about analyzing their location in terms of the amenities available. That's it. Does not mention a problem and certainly does not have a superlative or a comparison. It doesn't say anything about the big problems or the small problems. So it's not given. Question 35, the last one, we've had no, yes, not given. In the 19th century, New York's immigrant neighborhoods tended to concentrate around the harbor. So again, you've got the same paragraph about the immigrant neighborhoods, and it says they were located between the industries located on the waterfront and the wealthy neighborhoods bordering Central Park. So they were in between the waterfront and Central Park. So they were not concentrated around the harbour. The answer is no. Finally, gap fill with answers. Gap fill summary with answers to choose from. I think this is a little more demanding than the normal gap fill where you just pick a word from the text. Here, it requires more understanding, and that's why it's tough. And this one really is. The title is The Bedrock Myth. They tell you what bedrock is. They say bedrock is the solid, hard rock in the ground that lies under a loose layer of soil. So, what is the myth? When you look at the text, it says, the bedrock myth is the assumption, we've had that word in IELTS so many times, assume an assumption, it means you're guessing, but you don't have any evidence. The assumption that the absence of bedrock, this is such a, it's so hard, sorry, the absence of bedrock close to the surface between downtown and midtown New York is the reason for skyscrapers not being built between them. So if we simplify that sentence, it was believed that because there was no bedrock between downtown and midtown New York, that's why there are no skyscrapers. But the writer says this is a myth. So let's look at the first gap. He says, Barr indicates how the lack of bedrock close to the surface does not explain why skyscrapers are absent from where? That's the question, that's the gap. So what did we see? It said between downtown and midtown New York. So that's what you're looking for. That's the information. You need a synonym for that. And when you look at the options, there's only one. And the answer is specific areas, because that is the only option, which is a place. And those two specific areas are downtown and midtown New York. So 36 is H. He points out that although the cost of foundations increases when bedrock is deep below the surface, so imagine now this bedrock is very hard rock, so of course foundations costs will increase. This cannot be regarded as blank gap. This cannot be regarded as something, especially when compared to something. So, Barr argues that while deeper bedrock does increase foundation costs, these costs were neither prohibitively high, nor were they large compared to the overall cost. So it's all about cost. And he argues that these costs, where the bedrock was, actually they were not very high, and especially not compared to the overall cost. So when we look at the gaps, we're looking for something about the cost, which cannot be regarded as something. And the only answer there is excessive. It can't be regarded as excessive, especially when compared to the overall. The answer is the total expenditure. So let's backtrack. So people said there are no skyscrapers because putting foundations on bedrock was too expensive. He disagrees because he says it wasn't that expensive. There was no excessive expense, 37, especially when you take into account the whole cost. So that's 38i, the total expenditure. Tricky, tricky, very. Last two questions. A particularly enjoyable part of the chapter was Barr's account of how foundations are built. He describes not only how some things are made possible, so we know it's plural because of are, so some things are made possible by the use of caissons, caissons. So you look for that funny word caissons. I don't know what they are. Just look for that. He describes the use of caissons, which enable workers to dig down for considerable distances. So these caissons allow you to dig down. So what things are made possible? And you look at the options, the only option is deep excavations. Of course, you need to know the word excavation and that it means digging deep down into the soil. So these deep excavations are made possible by the use of caissons, but he also discusses their something. So what else does he say about caissons? So first of all, he said they enable workers to dig down considerable distances until they reach bedrock. Barr's thorough technological history discusses not only how caissons work, but also the dangers involved. So he also discusses, and we need a word for dangers, and the only one is associated risks. So there were some clues there that might help you. The not only, but also, you're looking for two things. And the two things were really clear there. Yes, they were good to dig down, but there were many dangers, as you can imagine. So that is it. I don't know what else to say about that. I have made a daily tip about it where I've extracted some of the language that I see come up quite a lot. And this time, if you go to my daily tips, it says a fraction of. And it's come up three times now in three texts. It came up in the last listening I did about urban farming. It said urban farming is cheap to run, consuming a tiny fraction, meaning a small proportion of electricity used by some techniques. And then it came up in another thing about skyscrapers, back to the future of skyscraper design. It talked about ventilation, and using natural ventilation would be a fraction of the energy cost, uses a fraction of the electricity. And here we've got foundation costs were a small fraction of the cost of development. And that was really important for helping us get the gap fill answer. So as always, the more you read, the more you'll see the same language coming up again and again, and the more you'll feel comfortable with it and be able to use it yourself. For example, in the writing academic task one, where you can talk about a fraction of the cost. That's a wonderful collocation. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening. Do let me know if you've got any special requests for reading or listening or writing examples. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.